Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
From the world's first officially recognized sim racing group, it's the Tora Radio Show.
Hello everybody and welcome to another edition of the Tora Radio Show here on radiolemans.com. As ever, I am Matt Hunter and I'm joined also as ever by Mr. Ben Williams. Hey Ben.
Hey Matt.
And across the pond we also have, I was going to say something that was going to be something related to some rap music that I vaguely remember, but I'm too posh to think about that. So Mr. Lewis Safley is also back again.
Yes, I am back, and I appreciate you not associating me with rap music. I cannot stand
Guess who's
that.
Back again.
Guess who's back? That's the one. That was one of the ones. And also joining us from the east of the British Isles, we have Mr. Jordan Groves again. Hello, Jordan.
Hello.
We are two for two this week.
Mm-hmm.
No longer out.
Unlike the last November show where you made me and Louie work on Thanksgiving.
Hang on. No, can't find the violin. Sorry.
No, I couldn't either. Oh dear.
You know who else remembers? America remembers.
America does remember.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Exactly.
I was hoping we were going to go in that direction.
How long before we see an Indian shed a single tear if I throw a can out the window right now?
Welcome to the Toro Radio Show. We do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
Just occasionally, though. We don't do it for a living, so that's why it's occasionally.
Yes.
Anyone else think this is rapidly becoming the Grand Tour, but younger?
No, we're better than the Grand Tour. I'm sorry.
Well, none of us have nearly died yet, so I mean, we're going better so far.
But yeah, and we're safer too, so by that logic.
You do spend a lot of time on your roof, though, Jordan.
What? Oh, I see. I thought you meant my house. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
That's a NASCAR fan for you.
I was going to say something about the Grand Tour game, because I've seen that they've got some... a small update. Come on. Don't know anything.
Oh, honest to God, I have actually completely forgot about you mentioning about that game before.
And I will continually say I will believe it when I see it, yeah. And am playing it.
Yeah.
Because frankly, why?
If they get if I wanted to have pubes for hair and a beer belly and shout power, I can just do that normally. So if I have a luscious head of hair.
Okay, that just went right off the cliff that I think we might get yelled at for.
Yep.
I can't imagine any of them listen to our show. So. And I'm pretty certain they've said worse things about each other.
Next thing that we have.
Dear Lord.
Remember, direct all comments to Matt Hunter.
I was going to say, if you like the show, I'm Louis Satterley. If you don't like it, I'm Matt Hunter.
The
opinions shared by Matt Hunter is not reflective of the views and opinions of the rest of the tour staff.
Who also may not be named Matt Hunter at the time.
Anyway.
Hashtag hey Matt.
You really should.
Nah, I don't.
Because we've gotten all the running gags shouty. Out of the way shouty. In the first 5 minutes of the show.
I am shouty. I have significantly less of a belly these days.
Oh, good on you.
Yes, thank you. We're getting there.
Yeah, I've got to do much of the same after finding out that I'm going to be racing a go-kart in a 24-hour race at the end of March myself.
Oh, yes. So. No, do tell us about that. I saw something about this.
Okay, so...
So go on.
Anybody who... knows about North American short track racing would know the sanctioning body USAC. They also sanctioned IndyCar for a while as well. But they are now opening up a karting division, and the very first race that they're going to be running is going to be the 24 Hours of Orlando, which fortunately for me is about an hour away from my house. So, and it's going to, apparently it's going to be a big, huge international affair, actually. A lot of OEM cart manufacturers are coming out. I think Top Cart was the first one to come out and say they were going to do it. Praga, I mean, I think we're going to be on a Praga. And Tony Kart is officially launching their new endurance chassis. Actually, I don't even know if I'm allowed to mention this, but I'm going to anyway. So if I get yelled at, I'll take the full blame on this one. Tony Kart's introducing... Yeah, there we go. Hashtag blame Matt. Tony Kart's introducing an all-new chassis specifically made for endurance racing as a whole that can also be used as a concession kart chassis or what have you. So it's going to be pretty interesting, I think. So... yeah, I'm really excited for it. There's already international flavor with a couple of teams from Brazil going to be there. A couple, or I think there's one team from Spain already, and there's a Canadian team as well.
So, are any of your IMSA friends going to be there?
If they're available, yes.
I suppose March. It's going to get close to.
Yeah, it's going to get close to around there. From the person who I'm going to be racing for, who actually gets a lot of the contacts for there. It's actually going to be the first time I race under his banner, Satellite Racing. He's the one that's really good friends with the Taylor brothers and James French and a few other names to be mentioned out there as well, whose names don't occur to me at the very moment. But he's very good friends with a lot of them, and he's the one that puts those together. And he has said, per word for word, if there's no conflicting races and they are able to do it, they will be there. So...
very cool.
Yeah, I'm quite anxious for it. So now I've got to lose the weight and not be the slowest driver on the cart. So
I have just the program for you. I shall have to send you in the right direction.
I got a great program for me. You know what it is? Don't eat so much. My food is so yummy.
Dieting.
And you're of course saying that the week after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know. Well, fortunately, I got the news during the week of Thanksgiving. It's like, all right, last binge meal. Let's do this.
This is it for the next couple of months.
Yeah, until March at least. Yeah.
Until Christmas rolls around and there's just Christmas cookies aplenty.
Actually, we don't do the cookies so much anymore. But anyway, that's...
oh, my family goes crazy with cookies, but that's another topic for another show.
I was going to say, let's save that for the Christmas show, shall we?
Yeah.
So motorsport happened. excuse me. We'll get to a little bit of real motorsport news because I want to say, obviously... personally, cyber racing, obviously intrinsically linked with ProDrive here in the UK, who run Aston Martin Racing and therefore develop the new GTE Vantage, the GT3 and GT4 spec cars as well. So this kind of linked in as friends of Toro. So we do want to say a big congratulations to Beach Dean and TF Sport, who recently announced their returns to the British GT Championship.
Hey, you got it out.
Yes, for next year. I keep trying to say touring cars, that's why. More on that in a minute. Might be some particular UK humour that you guys don't get. Announcing programmes with the new GT3 and GT4 Vantages, which is really, really cool. And interestingly, the lineup for the GT4 Vantage for Beach Dean, if I remember correctly, someone's going to correct me on this, is actually the lineup as was in the Ultratech Nissan 370Z, actually, with Kelvin Fletcher and Martin Plowman coming over.
Yes,
so, I got a quick question on this. With how many times we have name drop Beach Dean, Beach Dean, Beach Dean, are we going to get free ice cream?
Beach Dean.
I'll have to talk to Andrew Harrod, won't I?
She would. And you got to find a way to ship it over to the States because I have never seen Beach Dean ice cream over here. And it better be frozen, sir, because I do not want to get a big old tub of soup.
In fair.
Especially in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, by the time it gets down here, it would be soup as well. We don't get it down here for some reason, but then we've got billions of creameries and stuff down here anyway. What with me living in Devon and all.
Anyway, back on subject.
And also, Darren Turner's not his co-driver anymore. It's going to be Martin Sorensen, which looks quite interesting. So they're still using the AMR works drivers, but not mm-hmm. for not the same the same way AMR works drivers, but not necessarily in the same order.
So, in short, new Vantage GTEs, GT3s, and GT4s.
Yes.
Coming to Forza in 2022.
Well, you say that, of course. And how's this for a segue? But in the latest Forza Horizon 4 update, we learnt, and therefore subsequently received, the new road-going Aston Martin Vantage, which, if I may say so, sounds beautiful and it looks better.
Does.
I haven't. This is where it's really bad. I'm not entirely sure how this has happened. I have not heard a road going one, yet. I don't know how I've done this. I've managed to go nearly a year since the car was announced, and I've not even heard one. I haven't seen it reviewed anywhere. I haven't heard it on Top Gear or Grand Tour.
And you call yourself an Aston Martin fan?
Yeah, I know. Obviously, it's going to sound different because they were running a V12. They were still running the V12 and the GT3. Now they're running, I'm guessing, they're running the turbo V8. Same as the GTE car, but I guess it'll be tuned differently. So that's going to be bizarre. I'm looking forward to it, though. I think it's going to be brilliant. And it looks like there's going to be quite a few more of those. And this will be one for you boys. The first Mustang GT4 in Europe is racing in British GT next year. How cool is that?
That is way cool.
Yeah. I guess that means we have to balance that car now.
Yeah, we're going to have to, yeah. Fun.
People have been asking for it, so might as well. We have a reason now.
Yeah. So, we briefly touched on, because we should talk about some sim racing here, we really should. So let's talk about the Forza Horizon 4 Series 3 update, which bought... more little changes, including some big changes to the painting and upgrade options, a new Horizon Racing Cup, and some more seasonal events. Guys, what did we think of the new update for Horizon 4?
I'll go ahead and get start with this. Yeah, I'm vastly enjoying all of the new rim painting options that they have released in this new update. So, I'm going to pull this back for a second. For those who aren't really familiar with the intricacies of Forza's paint booth, whenever you go to paint your rims, you had one selection of color. The entire room would be one color, basically. Unless it was, like a couple older games, it was like a matte black insert on them. You might just be able to color that, have the chrome outsides, but for the most part, it's just been one color rim. Now with the new latest update from this month, you can now paint individual parts of the rim. So you can paint the extreme outside edge of the rim. Give everything like a red, like Hot Wheels style red stripe. You can paint the dish of the rim just itself. You can paint the main body of the rim just itself. And there's another option, which I don't remember what they call it. It will come to me eventually. But now you have basically four different areas of the rim that you can paint now individually instead of just one color.
One thing that made me think, you know how... now, I think McLaren is probably one of the main teams I know that does this. You know how they have on their racing rims, they have one highlighted section that's usually, I think, where the air valve is. But that's always... And you always see it on all their... All the cars. I wonder if that's possible then.
Mm-hmm.
If you paint cleverly. Mm. Did I also note that you can now that the brake disc materials look significantly better as well? I think they've done some work to that.
I haven't noticed that, but I haven't really upgraded that many cars since the update came out. I really haven't played the game that much since the update came out, if I'm honest, just because I've been on the road with visiting family during the holidays, as I typically am during this time of the year. So I haven't gotten to play entirely with the new stuff. And they were, well, if that's the case, and I can't tell right now because my Xbox is turned off, but if that's the case that they've done that, that's a very welcome improvement. There's also other couple like subgroup sections that you can paint, which again I haven't really gotten into. I just started playing with the new reel options just because that's something I've been wanting to implement for a while.
Now, I looked at some of the quality of life improvements. I love the way they term that. and now one of the things that they said... Now, this did narc me a little bit when I first started. Because if like me, you play more than one game, obviously you don't necessarily get to go on Horizon every single week. Therefore, there may come a time when you have to go into Horizon and download more than the two cars that have been added each week. And that can become annoying, because they don't seem... you have to download it, buy it, check your colour, do you want this car? Yes. And then repeat the process over and over and over again until you've caught up. Now, one of the things that they seem to have done is added the ability to bulk add DLC cars to a player's garage. No need to individually purchase DLC cars to add them to your collection.
Yeah, they've been doing that in Forza 7 for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
Something similar to that.
Which, yes, because basically, for those who don't know, as soon as you log into Forza 7, the first time after there's been a DLC update or anything like that, you get a pop-up screen before you even go into your normal garage and everything, and it will say, this is the new DLC, and you just go, and all the cars appear in your garage. Same with the update, same with the individual update-free cars, all this kind of stuff. It's a much smoother way of doing all that, I think. And kudos to them for doing it, I have to say, because they're listening to the community and they're working on it.
Couple other things that were added in the season or series 3 update, excuse me. We have all of the rims from Forza 7 now. Whenever Horizon 4 launched, there were a couple of rim packages, like 41 or so, that weren't included in the game at launch, but now they're in there now. So players can actually use them and actually load tunes in, because if your tune had the rims on it that wasn't included in Horizon, you actually couldn't upload it into Horizon. So that would be good. That kind of stuff is the only thing of noteworthy, I guess you can say, of the Horizon update. Of course, they always keep processing through their season, like racing cups, other thing like that, bug fixes, behind the scenes stuff, etc., etc., etc. One thing we haven't talked about on this show, though, I don't think, is all the new Holocron cars that we're getting or have been getting the last couple weeks, because the tie-in with Gymkhana, and I can't remember what number we're on. 14? 15? Something like that?
I thought it was 9.
No.
I want to say 10, I think.
Okay.
I think it's 10. It might be 10.
Already.
I haven't gone and watched the new show on Amazon yet, so excuse me.
Oh, I haven't either.
It seems like
it's Gymkhana. It's Gymkhana.
It's 10.
It is 10.
Yeah.
And there is going to be there is a car pack coming for. Sorry, I'm stepping in your thunder a little bit. There's a car pack, or there is content coming for that, and which will have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cars, which is pretty.
Woo! Amazing.
Two of which I think are already, in fact, two or three of which are already in the game. I think the Escort is my personal favorite.
The Escort's in there. The Huna, what do they call it? The Huna truck is in there.
Yeah.
And the updated version of the Hunacorn is in there too.
I also think we should probably also mention Fortune Island.
Probably. Fortune Island is apparently going to be the new, or the first, expansion to Horizon 4.
And it's going to be very impressive by the looks of it as well. I haven't read entirely the, because it was included as a, it was announced as a part of the,
Xbox show, whatever it was.
That's the one. And it from what I can tell, it seems to be involving going around searching for treasure. So it's like Forza mixed with Sea of Thieves or something. But
I think that's an element of it. But I think the really cool element of that is going to be some of the roads that they're including, which they actually look like there's lots of switchbacks and things like that, and it all looks like the sort of thing you'd see, like the Stelvio Pass, that kind of thing, all set in Northern England, storms, all this, that, and the other, and the Aurora Borealis.
Yes.
That's like a very, very, very Northern Scotland.
It'll look pretty, I guess.
Yeah.
It'll look very pretty.
It's basically Storm Island from Horizon 3 2.0.
Yeah. Except much bigger, I believe. I believe it's the biggest.
Probably much bigger and much prettier. Yeah. And with lightning storms now, apparently.
And the Lamborghini Urus, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes, and unlike previous versions of Forza, it's the actual proper road going one as well, as opposed to the concept that we had before.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
So that's Horizon 4, and lots of cool things to look forward to with that. We must also mention, of course, the Forza Motorsport December update will be due sometime next week, we suspect. So stay tuned to the regular Turn 10 channels for more details on that. We're not 100% sure what's coming in that. We'd like to be surprised.
We should probably do talk about the November update, though, because there's a lot of things that came out in that we should mention.
You want to quickly run through the November update, Ben, please?
I'm just going to skip past the car real quick just because it doesn't really need any introduction. It is a 73 Porsche Penske Sunoco 917 Can-Am car. So, yeah, that thing's really ridiculously fast. You gotta love Can-Am cars just because Can-Am was basically this series of, right, no rules, do whatever you want, just don't kill each other.
I still think the best racing quote ever from Mark Donohue came after that car. And that is...
Is it safe for radio?
It is safe for radio. If you leave black marks from the time that you exit to the corner to the point where you enter the next corner, you then have enough horsepower.
And that thing did, because it was over 1,000, wasn't it?
It was almost 1,300, I believe.
Definitely over 1,000.
Like that.
Twin turbo flat 12. I mean, Jesus.
Apparently, Mark Donohue, as mentioned, set the closed course record setting speed of 221.12 miles per hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Looking at that car with the open top like that and seeing that speed, I'm just, yeah.
Have you seen how big the actual rear tires of that car are? I'm pretty sure they're wider than a top fuel dragster.
Probably.
Actually, I know they're wider than a top fuel dragster.
But anyway, crazy car that's going to be ridiculously fun to drive.
Yes, I can't wait
to drive. Hopefully one day we'll actually do a Can-Am series of Toro. But it will require a lot of balancing and makes my head hurt just thinking about it. Anyway.
Let's get into that.
Yeah, the biggest part of the Forza 7 update in November was the new collision model. So, for those, again, who aren't familiar with the little Forza-ness of Forza, is that when you hit by another car, it basically, you just got sent. Pretty much.
Into the stratosphere.
Yeah. Typically, if you got hit hard enough by a Bugatti Veyron, if you're in something like a Fiat 500, you would literally go about 550 feet in the air.
Only
was the number of the model number or the model of the car, it also demonstrates the distance that it can fly in the air.
Yeah, and that's just vertically. I'm not talking horizontally. Thank
Having
you.
Having driven a Fiat 500, that cannot be a comfortable experience.
Probably not. No. They've updated stuff. First of all, the way that the energy is dispersed is now completely different. Result in softer collisions, what they're calling softer collisions, that actually absorb energy and not just do the racing game equivalent of Why am I forgetting the name of this? The silver ball pendulum, you know what I'm talking about? Why am I can't think of the name
of
it? Oh,
Newton's Cradle.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's no longer like that.
One from 1980.
I used to have one, but mine fell apart. Anyway, there's also a new collision assist, which is supposed to limit the amount of body rotation that you experience whenever you get hit by another player. You can turn that on and off at your will. We've chosen to turn it off in our races just because it does some weird things with lag, just because the game has to basically calculate collisions twice, whether or not the person has it on or off. Other things like that. I've heard some mixed reviews, and again, this is just like quick overview for like the time period that we have to talk about it. I've heard some mixed reviews about it. It's been positive and a negative, just because the cars get stuck together now a little bit more than they did, where it's extremely easy to just, if you contact the car in front of you and your bumpers will like lock and then you're just going off, and there's nothing you can really do about it. But it also means that you're not going to get nearly dive bombed and just murdered as much as you used to. Like, I was following someone at Road America and I got the breaking point just a little bit wrong and I touched them, and when I would have typically sent them, I didn't really. I just moved them a little bit instead of the previous collision model before the update. So it comes with its positives and negatives, but overall, I think it's a welcome addition to the game, just because it has improved the racing, where we can get much closer side-by-side action and not see people sent off the track as much as we have been. Also, in the update, and we've talked about this on the show, the loot crates are no more.
Yay!
We now have the race shop, which means that every 6 minutes you get a refreshed inventory of mod cars, driver gear, badges, and all kinds of other goodness. You can now be purchased for in-game credits. And within the first week, I found 3 suits that I had been looking for months since the game came out and had not got them. So I'm very welcome to this change.
It's much better.
Yes. So we are very happy about that. Also in the update was a bunch of tie-ins with Hot Wheels and their 50th anniversary, excuse me.
Yeah. I know some people get really funny about adding things like that, but the problem is for a lot of people, now I'm going to go with predominantly Americans, but a lot of people, their love of cars would have started by playing with either either Matchbox toys or Hot Wheels or that kind of stuff as kids. And that's how your love of cars kind of develops. So it fits in quite nicely with that kind of mantra of building the next generation of car fans. So I'm going to give them that. I think that's quite a cool.
Yeah. Well, saying that, Matt, actually reminds me of a meme that we had going around the internet. This was years ago, but it said every boy's all-time favorite hobby, talking about cars, just starts with 92 cents, which is how much a Hot Wheels car would cost over here.
Is that meme Article 13 approved?
sure.
Anyway, so that's the number, the November update in a quick, not really condensed package.
Condensed, but not condensed.
Condensed.
It's in fact uncondensed milk, otherwise known as milk.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
let's move to our friends on the PC, because it's not, and for once, it's not iRacing either. News that Assetto Corsa Competizione earlier in the month brought out their latest early access release, which included the BMW M6 GT3 and the Circuit Paul Ricard.
Poor Richard.
Someone
has to say it. It's contractually obliged.
Oh, good lord. Introduced 3 and 6 hour endurance race weekends. Also introduced multiplayer servers to help. Although the very next day, the multiplayer server was down.
That's to be expected.
Yeah. So there we go.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, of course, but your servers are not known for being strong.
Now, would I be correct in saying, Jordan, you've done online stuff on Assetto Corsa, or we call it Assetto Corsa 1?
Yes. Yes, I have, yeah.
How did you find it?
Largely, it was okay. I did a couple of league races that were pretty good because they were hosted by like people with actual internet connections that belonged to them. but public connections were very... let's say unstable is a kind word to put it. But largely, it was okay. It was it's kind of what you'd expect from all racing games with multiplayer. If you've got a host with a good connection, it'll be fine. If you haven't, good luck.
I'm still kind of... I really... excuse me. I really want to like this game. I really do. I think it's brilliant. I'm glad... You know, it's great that the Blancpain GT series is... linked in with this, and we've got those really cool new cars coming into the sim racing ether, which is awesome for the community. I just really, really wish it was coming to consoles as well. That's really my only major gripe. But there we go. Now we touched on this title last month, and possibly even the month before, but I'm going to come back to it because it's very, very important. Dirt Rally 2.0, the day one retail edition and pre-order content has now been announced. Oh, yay, okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's coming out, it's releasing worldwide.
I'm sorry, are we supposed to comment about how it's $60?
No, it was more commenting on the fact that it's a legendary rally game and it's going to be magnificent. I've actually found myself playing Dirt Rally again and really, really, really enjoying it, which is quite cool. Especially setting up my own team and running my own cars and stuff like that, which is very nice.
Yeah. I had time to play Dirt Rally. I just don't.
I literally do like 2 stages in the morning before I go out, like on a weekend morning, obviously not a weekday morning, that would be something. Mm-hmm. But mainly, for the purposes of this particular segment of the podcast, we're talking about the Day One Edition and the Deluxe Edition. Mm-hmm. The Day One Edition comes with, their words, not mine, stunning Porsche 911 RGT rally spec. Along with early unlocks for the Fiat 131 Abarth Rally and Alpine Renault A110 1600S. So two nice classic cars and a car that should never be allowed to rally. Mind you, that being said, anyone who saw the pictures a few weeks ago of someone rallying an F-Type...
Yes.
Still not sure how I feel about that.
Mm, it's odd, isn't it?
Very, very secure.
Something you just don't expect.
Having an accident or meant to be, not so there is also, in addition to the Day One Edition, which will pretty much be what you get on if you buy the digital versions only, there is also a Deluxe Edition for the most dedicated players, which includes 5 early vehicle unlocks, the Ford Escort Mark II, lovely, Lancia Stratos, also lovely, likely to rust into pieces there, the Super Impreza 1995, iconic, the ubiquitous Audi Sport Quattro, and the Ford Fiesta OMSE Supercar Light, which I think is the rallycross car that Tom Enzo Cole drove in Turkey.
I believe you're right.
Random bit of information that I picked up. There we go. A man of many talents, including coming on radio shows and being very, very nice to you. And running a Christmas tree business now, interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. He goes door to door, but I actually believe pictures they put on the website. Thomas Cole has got a Christmas tree.
I'm desperately trying to think of a pun.
It's Brilliant.
Tom on Snow Coal.
Anyway.
God. excuse me. And also includes the first two seasons of post-launch additional content, each with three locations split between Rally and Rallycross. They're doing additional content, and they've announced it, which is more than they ever did for the Formula One games. And five additional early vehicle unlocks. Dulux edition will also allow players to get on their hands in the game 4 days early. Ooh, early release. I've never heard that before for a racing game. Launching on the 22nd of February 2019. And also includes upgraded starter cars for my team. In-game bonus. It's not my team, obviously. My team. Not my team. In-game bonuses. And this is like four candles, isn't it?
Yeah.
And high reward events. So, and I'm sure various selected retailers will have offers for it as well. It looks brilliant, and I'm really, 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 really looking forward to this. Like I said last month, I really hope this is the natural successor to Richard Burns Radley. And seeing as Robert Reed's doing the co-driving for the British, the English language version of the game, it really is quite close, so that's quite cool. I'm looking forward to that. We're gonna lop two wheels off and talk about something that's close to Jordan and my heart. It's not even grammatically correct, we don't care. Ride
I'm gonna
three.
Go get a coffee, I'll be right back.
Lord. Ride 3, which comes out tomorrow, actually.
Oh,
is it tomorrow?
It's tomorrow. It comes out tomorrow. Friday the 30th it comes out. So how cool is that?
That is way cool.
And in particular, Jordan, I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Okay.
We need to discuss the track list for this.
It's mightily impressive, I would say. I will admit now, I haven't. I haven't been into the Ride games as much as you have. I played the trial for Ride 1, and I didn't play Ride 2 at all because of the track list, mainly. I wasn't really caught by it. This one, however, is very interesting, especially if you're in the UK, because you will see tracks such as Brands Hatch, Donington Park, all very good so far. You've got Alton Park, very, very good. Cadwell Park. I was expecting a yay, but never mind.
Yay! No, I will say yay, because I, as people know, I've walked around that circuit.
Get up the mountain? Because I've with tried walking up the mountain as well. And it's it was hard enough in the dry for me, yeah, so I don't know how that went.
It was a very, very long time ago.
But then you've also got some of the British road circuits, such as the Northwest 200 circuit, which I believe was in the previous ones, as was the Southern 100 Billown circuit on the Isle of Man. That's not the full Isle of Man TT circuit. Quite frankly, there's an entire different game if you want to repeatedly fall off a bike again and again and again. And then moving out of the UK, obviously, you've got other tracks such as Daytona International Speedway, which I've never seen a motorbike race at, but I'm led to believe it's rather special.
It's rather spectacular to watch.
I thought you would have been to see
that. Yeah, it was actually a birthday present for me, because it's shortly after my birthday, actually, that race happens. Actually, it's usually about a month after my birthday. So my brother, he's a big motorcycle fanatic, and one year he's asking me, what can he get me for my birthday? It's like, I've always wanted to go see this race. You know, you like motorcycles, I like motorcycles. Let's go to it and everything like that. And it's incredibly impressive. And if you ever watch any of the onboard video from back then, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're at a full perpendicular slant where basically if they look to their right straight up, they're going to be looking straight up.
That's the thing I can't imagine. Motorcycles going around the banking. It's just an alien concept to me. But alas, I will carry on with the track list here. So we also have the Macau Street Circuit, which I am very excited to see.
And that's just madness in itself, because those riders drag shoulder on the wall. Yeah,
yeah, but they have stabilizers, and that's two massive features of their anatomy that I won't get into right now.
We're going back to Newton's cradle here.
Yes, exactly. We also have the likes of Imola, Laguna Seca, Magni Core, which is a fantastic track. The Nordschleife, which is my favorite track in the world. Monza.
I'd love to see a bike go around the Nordschleife, I'm not even going to lie.
Well, pretty soon you'll probably see me uploading some video of it. So there's something.
Oh, that would be wonderful. If you do that, sir, I will be happily watching your stream.
Thank you. And then we have also got the last one that I will mention, having only recently discovered the existence of this track thanks to Project Cars 2, Sugo in Japan, which is a fantastic...
I missed the World Superbike races there. That was awesome to watch those races there.
Oh, yes.
Very, very positive looking track list, isn't it?
Yeah, I am really looking forward. I'm really looking forward to Magni Core, because that hasn't been in a racing. Well, the last racing game was probably in, would have to have been a Formula One game.
I think it was Ride One. It was in. I'm pretty sure it was in Ride One.
Goodness me, well, that passed me by.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Represented.
Yes, it is.
But it is an amazing circuit. Yeah, but yeah, it is a fantastic circuit, I have to say, and it is great to have it. You've also got. Like you say, got you know Imola there, which is obviously renowned as a car track. But actually, I can see it working very well. In fact, the superbike races that used to be there were magnificent. The final rounds between Troy Bayliss and Colin Edwards, for those who remember, I think I want to say 2002, will go down in history as probably some of the best bike races that ever happened ever. And Vallelunga as well, which is. Bizarre.
Oh, Vallelunga's fantastic. I've played a lot of that recently on Assetto Corsa 1, we're now calling it. That is a fantastic Brett Vallelunga. I can't imagine how good that's going to be on a bike.
Now, we've seen, Jordan and I have seen some images, some moving images, because we're from the 1890s and that's what we call film.
I thought that was my.
Have you gone and seen the picture show, have you?
Yeah, moving pictures, yeah.
I have been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 lately, but.
And we've been watching some of the bikes go around the Macau circuit. It's I mean, I know obviously you know, comment from Ride 1, but I can tell you it's a big graphical step up from Ride 2, and the reflections and lighting of Macau at night with the bikes driving through puddles riding through puddles. It's absolutely stunning. Really, properly looking forward to this. This is going to be very, very cool. And I mean the bike list, irrespective of anything else, the bike list is just, because you can't really call it a car list, can you?
No, not you really, call it a bike list.
The
bike list is, I mean, they revealed, when did they reveal it? Probably a little while back now, but it was, they've split them down into various categories. So you've got naked, superbike, supermoto, maxi enduro, vintage, sports, and something that they laugh bizarrely call cafe racer.
Ooh, delicious.
I can't even comprehend what that even is.
Something tells me it has something to do with a Scooty Puff Jr.
But it's whatever it is. Just dumbfounds me. I'm sure our various bike friends who know about this will be able to tell us more. As you would expect, an awful lot from an Italian developer. There's an awful lot of Italian bikes in there. Plenty of Aprilia, Bimotas, Ducatis, Agogo. Racing bikes in there. Interestingly, one of the ones that's in there, the 1199 Panigale, are Be Wiser Ducati, which I'm pretty certain is a British superbike team.
Oh, I had not seen that. They are a British superbike team. I had not seen that was in there. That's very exciting. Cool.
You've got the Honda. There's one, the CBR1000RR, which is just referred to as Honda Racing. I'd like to think that that's our good friends from Louth, but who knows? could be anything. There's also Honda Endurance Racing, so that'd be the same bike, just with a light on it. another British superbike team, Bournemouth Kawasaki, and then the ZX10R. A lot of these are 17 bikes. Now. Ride is very, very good with its DLC. They add a lot of content moving through. So if your favourite bikes isn't amongst some of the many hundreds of bikes that are in there. 230 bikes from launch from seven different categories. Fear not, because I almost guarantee you that within a few months, that one of the themed packs that they release will almost certainly have the sort of bike in it that you're looking for. But that is an incredibly promising start. 230 bikes, as we say, from new. Out tomorrow. So if you're looking for something a little bit more Forza-y for your bike life, and MotoGP isn't quite cutting it for you, give this a go, because you won't be disappointed. Very, very cool indeed. And now we must move on to Tora news. I'm just going to double check to make sure we have actually covered everything, because goodness knows I'm very good at forgetting things. People like.
Do we need to call back Ben? Because I think he's off to go get himself a coffee.
Oh, he'll be
oh I've been back. I never actually left. I'm just commenting on the my lack of knowledge when it comes to ride.
If it has two wheels, then they keep score.
It's on Motorsport. Anyway, let's move on then to.
Yeah, Gooey, do you want to talk about IndyCar?
Yes, we should, absolutely. IndyCar, let's go.
So season 5, hard to believe it's already been 5 seasons, but yes, that has been put to wraps there, and it is SVR Shadow who is your champion, who had a wonderful gamer tag change in the middle of the season. He started off as HCR...
Boxer.
Wow, that... What was it?
Boxer.
Yes, HCR Boxer. Sorry, that name just completely escaped me for the briefest of moments, even though I had just thought of it. But he started at HCR Boxer and went on to SVR Shadow. He is a Season 5 champion. We're still yet to have a duplicate champion when it comes to the drivers. However, when it comes to the team's championship, for the fourth year in a row, Grip Tech Performance has won the team's championship.
Congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
I don't know why I said that questioningly.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's.
I guess you did okay.
Your dominance? Wow, that is impressive. So,
we're back to eat, shoots, and leaves again, guys.
This is the Tora radio show. we sometimes talk about sim racing.
Anyway, okay.
The hashtag Tora, too literal. Line. Anyways, but yeah, going to have a lot of wholesale changes when it comes to next season. Some tracks are going to be out. Some new tracks are going to come in to more reflect what the real-life schedule is and what other people are requesting a lot of. So hopefully we'll have that changed up. And I believe, don't quote me on it, we're going to have a first half of the year calendar. Not sure yet.
More on that next month when we announce all the rest of our... calendar.
The idea is that we will have the full 2019 schedule for everyone on December. Whether or not that actually happens remains to be seen.
And of course, there will still be some surprises along the way that we don't know about yet.
So stay tuned.
Yes,
we never
congratulations, Lou, on another fantastic IndyCar series. It's been obviously very, very impressive.
Well, thank you.
Did you mention the independent team standings at all?
I did not mention, and I'd have to pull up results because that was the one thing that actually was not.
I can do that for you now if you like.
Well, if you're going to be quicker than I am, you can go right on ahead. But I believe the show does have to carry on.
So in first place was AX4X Demon. With Tomahawk Racing in second and Kaido HCR Auto Lusso in third, all Chevrolets. The first non-Chevrolet was the Honda of Badger BWT Racing, and they were in seventh. So pretty much Chevrolet show in the.
So funny enough that you mentioned that actually towards the last few races, we only had one Honda in the whole field. And that one Honda goes on to win the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah.
And everybody kept saying that the Chevrolet was better.
Just shows. A lot of it's down to drivers when it comes to a series like this.
So yes. Anyway.
Very well done to them. Ben, more Tora news.
Yes, TEC. We had a round of TEC since we last met. Since we were last on the air, we had the 8 hours of Suzuka, which is like one of the first Suzuka races that we've had all year on the full track, because we've had several different ones on shorter versions of the track, but not for the full GP circuit. We've had a mix-up, well, a change-up, I should say, in the standings. The Gander Audi Sport team, which started as the AMS Audi, has now taken the championship lead, as the F4H car was unable to attend the last round due to scheduling and other things of that nature. So the Gander Audi Sport went pretty much unchallenged most of the day, finishing with a total of 827.80 miles. In second was the Swordfish Motorsport Vermilion car, featuring a special appearance by Veloce Racers, which helped that performance out. They were only 4 miles behind the other Audi with 823.63 miles. And in third was the Kaito HCR automobile car, which finished 818.55 miles. In GT, pretty much that remained unchanged. Mismatched from Hell, featuring drivers such as JSR South, the Xeron Bulkhead, and formerly AMS Oshis. They came home with 702.14 miles. In second was the Alien Motorsports GT car, which finished with 701.07 miles. And in third was the SVR Purple car, which finished with 699.57 miles. The last round of the series is actually a little over a week off. We will be finishing with the 8 hours of Sebring, just because we can. So be sure to check the relevant Twitter, Twitch places where you can watch that race. And I got to say, thank you everyone working behind the scenes at TEC, making sure the balance for the cars were right. The Aston got a major buff, and I think it shows how far off the Aston was before, where we actually have a couple Astons in the top 10, as compared to not having any in the top 20.
Yes, absolutely. And also, just quickly mention, I don't have the results to hand at the moment, but check all our social media channels for the usual content. The V8 Supercars 2018 currently taking place as well. Brilliant to have that series back. I think it's been taken up really well. Just looking at the EU entry with 58 cars entered for that. Interestingly, bearing in mind everyone was concerned, shall we say, that Holden was going to not do very well. It kind of is, actually.
Yeah.
As is the after Nissan,
after it was given a balance performance boost.
Yeah, gotta love that BOP.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, a little bit more sim news that we've forgot. Well, I do apologise. I have forgotten about.
Yes, announced shortly after the final round of the Formula One Championship that was last weekend. HTC Vive announced the McLaren Edition VR headset, which I've yet to try VR. I will just throw out there, and I really, really want to try it now. It's essentially going to be a VR headset that's bundled with some McLaren-themed games, I guess you would call them, or software they label it as. One of them being the McLaren VR Garage Experience. Wow, which essentially allows the players to be part of the McLaren pit crew, which sounds really good. And then they will also be including R Factor 2 McLaren edition. I know McLaren's esports championships have been focusing a lot on R Factor 2 recently, and VR is meant to be very good on that.
Jordan?
Yes.
You neglected to tell our dear listeners the price of this thing.
I was about to ask if you, if anybody had any guesses as to how much this system would cost.
$17,500.
You're not far off. Well, no, you are quite far off. £1,450.
Is that literally how much is the Jordan? How much is the Vive normally, Jordan?
I dread to think. One moment, technical. 1,000. So it's only £450 more.
Only.
That's like lunch. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, it's only.
I'm flabbergasted by that.
It's only.
Bear in mind, Oculus Rift is like £350.
Wow.
An Oculus is what you can use on PC, PlayStation, not Xbox currently. Why would you?
But you get to be a McLaren garage member.
In pretend.
And the device is coloured slightly like a McLaren, but it's more good. Blue than orange. Oh, so if you want to match, if you want to, you know, accessorize your McLaren team wear with your Vive software, then you can go ahead and do that for 1,450 of your finest British pounds. Utterly
good
mad.
God.
But nevertheless,
I'm blown
very
away.
Cool.
I am blown away by it. It is, you're right. It is very cool, and the elements of that are very, very cool. But that price tag,
yeah.
Right, just in the closing minutes of the show, just while we sort of reel ourselves from
that price tag.
Yes, let's go from something completely different.
I will say, Fanatec, just thinking of overly expensive things, Fanatec brought out a new formula wheel as part of their Black Friday stuff. And I think it was called, I want to say it was called the Club Sport Wheel. No, it's not that one. Anyway, there's this new, it's an officially branded Formula One wheel, which they announced during Black Friday. And it's ludicrously expensive, as you can probably imagine.
Okay, are you ready for the name of this?
Go on.
Club Sport Steering Wheel F1.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How did they come up with that name?
I know.
I'm going to guess a set of dice and a word chart.
It does look mightily impressive, though. Have you seen all the buttons on it?
There's more, but the one that's on their website has a lot of buttons. The one that they just announced has so many buttons and rockers and switches and things. It's like, I'm not into.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I forgot a word. Club Sport Steering Wheel F1 Esports.
Yes, it's, and it's also, as perhaps unsurprisingly, quite expensive.
Mm-hmm. You can become Brendan Lee for however many pounds. How much does it cost?
I don't think this is the.
That's not the special Uber.
I'm not looking at the special one. Just the regular Club Sport Steering Wheel F1 Esports. Is 250 of your finest US dollars.
Actually, that's not. Oh. Is that too much? Maybe. It's still a lot. But it's not as bad as £1,450 HTC.
I mean, that's half the price of an Xbox One or the base price of an Xbox One S.
Right. The one that I was talking about is actually called the Club Sport Steering Wheel F1 2018.
Oh, excuse me.
And you think the one that... I know this works terribly well on radio. You think the one that you were looking at had lots of buttons. This has many, many
more
buttons.
Goodness gracious me.
Let's see.
Wow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and I've lost count.
So it's the F1 2018 edition, did you say? So does that mean it will work perfectly fine on your own, but if you try and use it with multiple people, it will become hideously unstable and crash?
Things I'm noticing with this. It costs £349.
And let's just point out that is the wheel, that is not with the base with which to actually make it operate.
And they are sold out.
Yes. That many people, mad people, have already bought it. And I'll
either
tell
that
you
or
now,
they've given all
to
of them
fair,
away.
I think
That's 100 extra pounds, because it will be £349 as well as it is €349.
Didn't Jimmy Broadbent got one?
Probably. He did.
There'll be that. There will be. So it's an extra £100 for an F1 logo and maybe 5 extra buttons.
Ouch.
So just to run through this, because we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about this now, because this is ridiculous.
Sorry, I just found this number. 11 buttons, 12 multi-way, multiple position switches, thumb encoders, rocker switches, and the list goes on. Even when Fnatic is not pedantic enough to list all the buttons on their wheel, you know it's a lot.
Oh, it's a lot. It's really a lot. So it's 11 buttons, 2 paddle shifter buttons with ultra reliable switches, 2 rocker switches, 2 12-way multi-position switches, analog joystick to look around the cockpit or to map with any other access, 7-way funky switch, trademark, to change settings, turn left, turn right, move left, up, down, blah, 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 2 thumb encoders, well reachable while driving without releasing the grips, 2 vibration motors integrated within the grips, controllable through wheel tuning menu, SHO or boy, gained through Fnatic SDK. Revolution LED bar with 9 multicolor LEDs to show motor RPM and optimal shifting points. 2 flag LED bars, because there's so many games that have that. With 3 multicolor LEDs, each to indicate tire slip, fuel level, incoming radio, as games program through the Fnatic SDK. White status LED. 1 128 by 64 OLED display to show telemetry data like speed or gear as games programmed through the Fnatic SDK. Tuning functions with OLED display to adjust settings independent from game. Okay, there's a lot of things going on here.
Wow.
And I think we've just literally gone to the end of our show because we were just reading the list.
So, flabbergasted.
Matt, that was wonderful. Can you do it 2 times faster and backwards?
Flabbergasted with the price.
And if Fnatic would be willing to send Tora one of these wheels for strictly marketing and testing purposes, exactly. My address is...
it to you because you actually play F1, so it makes a lot more sense.
Right, I play F1 too, and who's the test track driver here now?
This is
but who lives in the United Kingdom and shipping will be cheaper?
Also, anyway.
Can I throw in one more piece of news?
Yeah, go
ahead. Oh, gosh.
Okay, this is just quick, and I just remember this. I saw on Monday evening that iRacing tweeted out a video showing day to night transitions.
Ooh.
It's about time.
Finally.
So they got weather. Just teasing that in there at the very end.
Something to look forward to for the next show then.
It's at Daytona, Louie. Damn, it's Daytona. It sort of looks like Daytona.
I'm gonna laugh if it's not Daytona and you just try to tease me for no reason.
It's Daytona.
Way. Right.
I prefer Sebring anyway.
And on that intriguing bombshell, we must end the show. Thank you ever so much for listening once again. I've been Matt Hunter. Ben has been flabbergasted. Lewis has been, I'm guessing, also flabbergasted. And Jordan has been the one who brought us this flabbergasting news.
I've been gasted flabbered.
My gast has never been so flabbered.
Oh.
Or flabber has never been so gasted. Whichever way you'd like to take that.
Fantastic. Thank you ever so much for listening. We'll see you next month for our bumper show, our bumper Christmas show. I suspect we won't do a Christmas list this time because thanks to Brexit, Santa has had to budget accordingly. Thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.